Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Along with Director of Family Services, Chris Radlitz, I'm Gary Byron. No, I'm not the Director of Family Services, no. And the gentleman right next to me this morning is. I think last week there was a little mess up, a little mistake. We almost switched roles.
You decided to bring it up again.
No, I just wanted to highlight the fact that we are back in our regular roles here for the show.
I'm pretty sure we were in our regular roles last week,
well,
too.
Well, we ended up that way, yes, but we didn't begin that way.
So. Oh, right. Boy.
How was your week?
Every show, it started lately, right? Jimmy, keep this guy straight for me, will you? My week was wonderful, thank you very much, Mr. Byron. How was yours?
A ducky.
Ducky?
Yes. Quack. Quack, quack. Yeah, quack, quack. It was. So it was fine. You know, no complaints. Of course, nobody likes a complainer anyway. So
nobody listens anyway.
Well, we all have our own problems, right?
That's right. I always think it's nice that people would care to hear about, you know, those things that really, you know, hey, how are you doing?
Well, if they take you so literally, you really want to know. So let me tell you. That could take so long to explain.
I know.
Rather than, it's just a nice thing to
say. And then you see,
say,
like, the noose coming out, and they're wrapping it around their head, and they're starting to pull it up, and it's like, okay, I guess you don't really want to hear.
No, they don't.
No.
It's just like, I only asked you that just as a figure of speech. Just, you know, hey, I didn't expect you to really take me literally and answer the question.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we actually were that interested so that we would hear what people are going through and see if there's some way we can be helpful and all those things?
Well, sure. We always want to be part of a solution, not part of a problem, right?
I think so.
The good Catholics that we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, do we have any dignity of life or anything coming up here?
We do.
Oh. I'm glad I asked.
This is the first time, 2 minutes into the show, and
we can wait. Let's do this. That's wonderful.
It's about time.
I didn't know if you were going to make fun of me more.
No,
or,
I don't ever make fun of you. Okay. It's about time that you decided to get to the program instead of these chit-chat sessions we
pardon
have.
Pardon me here.
My gosh.
I'll keep that in mind here.
So, dignity of life. No, we'll do something different this year. We'll make it, or this show, we'll chit-chat at the end.
we almost practically go over. We got to, this is why, remember when we first started, we used to do the dignity of lives at the end of the show?
I know, but now it never works.
No, because we take it right up to the very last second.
I know. You're looking at me going, you're pointing to your watch. It's like, you know.
Yeah, but well, before you got the timer.
I know.
I'd have to tell you.
The timer is such a nice benefit for me.
Folks, I used to have to give them the hand signals like 5 minutes ago because you'd be off on a tangent and I'm like, I still got another question I want to ask you. And if you go off too long in some long-winded answer, I'm not going to have that kind of time.
Are you insinuating that I give long-winded answers?
Some of them. And then I got to do my outro and it's like, well, forget it. And then let's move the dignity of life and all the other kind of housekeeping stuff. Let's move that to the front of the show. That way we know we have time to get to it.
I'm crestfallen.
You're crestfallen.
I am crestfallen.
Why? Because I insinuated that you're long-winded?
That I have long-winded answers.
As do I. That's why I work in talk radio.
No, I don't have. No, I have factual information.
I did not say anything about how factual
it is. Well, long-winded implies tooting air.
That's your own opinion of that. That's your interpretation. I had said nothing about how accurate you are.
Fine.
I just said you are long-winded.
Okay, fine. Be that way. So, dignity of life.
Oh,
yes, Wednesday,
September 27th
at 2 o'clock at St. George Church.
Okay.
Thursday, September 28th at 6 o'clock, St. George also in Guildford. Wednesday, October 4th, the Feast of St. Francis, I might add.
Oh.
St. Augustine's Church in North Branford at 9:30 a.m. Those are the latest. And as always, if you will go to www.ccacemasinmary.org, you'll always get the latest information about our Dignity of Life seminars, and conveniently you can register right online, and it makes it simple. So also, some interesting things. We mentioned last week, I think for the first time, that we have some new sections and new locations and new products.
I do that. That's right.
Yeah. Clastonbury at Holy Cross Cemetery, we just opened up a semi-private estate section. In Calvary Cemetery in Waterbury, we are installing two large columbariums for families that choose their remains to be cremated. And in St. John's Cemetery in Wallingford, we have also installed a brand new columbarium. So And it's all beautifully done, nicely landscaped. It's, those are, St. John's is beautiful. Glastonbury, Holy Cross, beautiful.
I haven't been there.
Calvary, a nice Waterbury cemetery, very historic. Yeah, really nice places. So that's really nice. Got that. I know we've talked about this before. This morning, 8 o'clock, started the Catholic Men's Conference, Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference. So if you're listening and you still think you might be interested, it's never too late to go and stop in. There's some great speakers all day long. Plus, there will be a closing mass with the Archbishop. So it doesn't hurt to stop
in. Can you
in.
Walk right in, or do you need to have sign
up?
Well,
you can pay at the door. It's fine. Yeah.
What time
does it start? My guess is it started at 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
But my guess is that, you're listening to the show 11:30, so it'll probably be, well afternoon by the time you get there. My guess is they'll let you right in anyway.
And what time does it go until?
It goes until 4, and then mass,
okay.
Closing mass. So, yeah.
Are you heading over there from here?
Oh, of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm always there.
Right.
We're like one of the major sponsors of the event because it means so much for Catholic men here in Connecticut.
Sure.
And we also have a financial incentive that I'd like to tell everyone about. If you purchase a mausoleum crypt in any one of our locations, you'll receive $500 off the price of it. If you purchase a tandem or double, you will get $1,000 off, which has never been done before. It used to be $750.
It was. I knew it. I knew, yeah, $750.
So, right. Again, an opportunity to help out families, which is something that I'm always in favor of. That's good until the end of October, which is another thing that we don't usually do.
And that's like 2 whole months.
Extended for 2 whole months.
It's usually just 1 month, right?
Usually it's just a month.
When was the last time this was offered?
It's never been.
No. I mean, I'm sorry. When it was at $750.
Oh.
For 1 month.
What is this, September? I think it was in February.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we offered it in February. But things are changing always, in terms of what type of offers there will be and things. So, I don't want to sound salesy, but if families have an interest in doing preneed planning, now's really the best time to do it because things change and you never know what's going to happen in the future in terms of what's available as an incentive or maybe a special of some sort. And I'll tell you what, $1,000 off of a tandem is
nothing to shake a stick at. That's really good savings.
That's unheard of, too. Yeah. So,
and you don't know if or when it would ever be offered again, right?
So. I don't. I truly, and it's not just like I said, this isn't a sales thing. I really don't know if and when ever it'll come up again.
All right, let's go into the show. I wanted to ask you who St. Matthew was and what his significance is in Catholicism. Was he a tax collector, if I remember correctly?
So, yeah, okay, good memory, because St. Matthew was one of the four evangelists. And when we talk about the four evangelists, we mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, they wrote the Gospels of the New Testament. Okay, well, St. Matthew was one of them. He was known as Levi, one of the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus. He's a significant figure because he is the author of the Gospel of Matthew, which is one of the four canonical Gospels in the New Testament. But I think to get a good understanding, we should talk a little bit about all four, just briefly, of all four of the evangelists. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Mark was much younger than the other writers. His mother was actually the prominent follower of Jesus when he was alive, okay? He did follow Jesus, but he would have really been in his teens when the Lord was in Jerusalem. So he may have seen and listened to our Savior on some occasions. It was after the resurrection that Mark traveled with the Apostle Paul, and that's where he then really became ingrained in the faith. He accompanied the Apostle Peter to Rome and stayed by him while he was in prison. Mark is known as Peter's interpreter, both in speech and in writing. And as a fisherman from Galilee, Peter may not have spoken Greek fluently, so Mark interpreted for him. So when we look at what the different ones are known for, St. Mark is kind of known as the guy who wrote the gospel from the Greek perspective, okay? St. Luke, He's interesting because he didn't know Jesus personally at all. He became a follower after Jesus died, when Paul taught the Gospels. So Luke had been a physician, but he left his profession to travel with Paul. He had the opportunity to talk with many of the apostles, as well as others who were eyewitnesses to the special events or moments in the Lord's life that he wrote down in the book of St. Luke. He apparently had the opportunity to talk to many who were present when Jesus performed many of his miracles. One of the most amazing stories Luke wrote about was the birth of Jesus. And it is said that Luke probably got this information from a direct encounter with Mary herself. So that was that's pretty exciting. He also wrote Acts of the Apostles, by the way.
I thought I read that Simon Peter and Matthew didn't get along in the early, prior to the arrival of Jesus Christ. That when, as the tax collector.
Well, nobody got along with the tax collector
in
back
Capernaum,
in those days because they thought he was, you know, he was kind of an agent of Rome.
Right.
By the fact that he was a tax collector. And you know, when we get into talking more about Matthew, I think there's a whole, there's this whole litany of things that occurred in his life that you'll get to see, I think, we'll talk about in a minute.
All right.
St. John, of course, you know, the beloved disciple, he, in his gospel writings, presents Jesus as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. And in John's gospel, you know, it starts off that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So his perspective was about the divinity of Christ. Matthew now was a man who could have moved comfortably in political circles, and his book mentions things that someone in his position would know. For example, his account of the resurrection talks about how those assigned to guard the Savior's tomb saw two angels roll back the stone that covered the door of the tomb, and they were told, they told their superiors what happened, as so the soldiers were offered large sums of money to say that Jesus' body was taken away by his followers, okay? And this lie was then spread among the Jews. Matthew must have known about the bribery. So it is only in the book of Matthew that you read this little interesting bit of information because of his ability politically to be involved with different kinds of people. So each of the four have their different perspective, okay? You read Matthew and you hear the Messiah telling of his kingdom. You read Mark and you hear of the humble servant expressing his love for those that he came to serve. You read Luke, you hear the man has a sinless life and perfect submission to his Father's will. And John, you hear God speak of his great love for all the world and the riches of glory are given to those who follow Christ. So there's kind of this whole thing about the, all four Gospels, how they come together and why they were important. One for the Jews, one for the Gentiles, one for the Greeks. It was interesting the way the whole thing was orchestrated.
A couple of days ago, September 21st, it was the feast day of St. Matthew the Apostle and Evangelist, right?
Right.
Why? Why is September 21st marked as that day?
Well, it's not so much that September 21st is a special day. It is the traditional feast day of St. Matthew in the Roman Catholic calendar. It commemorates his martyrdom, okay?
Oh, okay.
And that's the reason. It serves as a day of celebration and reflection on his life and contributions to the church. It's also an opportunity for Catholics to remember and honor him as an apostle and evangelist. And it provides time to reflect on his gospel, his conversion, and his willingness to follow Jesus. It also serves as a reminder of the call to discipleship and the importance of evangelizing. When you read Matthew, I mean, Matthew is where you see the Sermon on the Mount. This is where you talk about the Beatitudes, all these things in Matthew that are indications of Jesus and his important aspect of evangelizing to the crowds and the people so they understand that they have to live their lives a certain way.
Okay. So what do we know then about St. Matthew's life? This is, I'm saying, like before he became an apostle and how did he How do they respond to Jesus' call to become a disciple in the first place? And I know he's a tax. I mean, I already mentioned
that. But that's just it. St. Matthew worked as a tax collector, as you said, in Capernaum. Very good. Great memory you have. And they were collaborators with Roman authorities. They were not well regarded by the Jewish community. According to the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus called him, Matthew immediately left his tax collecting booth and followed Jesus.
He just knew.
Gave it all up.
He knew.
Right then and there. So that's where you talk about that instant conversion that occurs. He hears this guy. He says, come follow me. What does he do? Drops everything. His whole career. Pretty lofty position.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And off he goes. And he follows Jesus. And, you know, it demonstrated his prompt and faithful response that, and his belief that this was the Son of God. You know, his story teaches us about the importance of responding to God's call, leaving behind our sinful ways, and embracing a life of discipleship and service. And that's what Matthew was all about.
And then he made friends with a former enemy, with Peter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
they both decided to follow. Well, right,
yeah.
Exactly. But Peter was brothers with Andrew, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Some key teachings. What would be some of the key teachings associated with St. Matthew, like in the Bible?
Well, for instance, within the book of St. Matthew, you have the Sermon on the Mount, you have the Beatitudes, you have the Lord's Prayer.
That's where it was written.
Yeah, and okay. The Great Commission, okay, to go out and talk about the faith. You know, two by two, I send you out, two by two. So in Matthew 9, there's an account of Jesus calling Matthew to become one of his disciples. And this is kind of the highlight of the theme of God's call to discipleship, which we just talked about. It's that transformative power of encountering Jesus. Now, he happened to encounter him face to face. We can encounter him every week when we go to church, okay? We can encounter him every day when we pray. So that encounter is transformative, and that's power to us if we recognize it and if we're open ourselves to it. In Matthew 25, there's the parable of the talents, where Jesus tells of a master who entrusts different amounts of currency to his servants. And the parable emphasizes the importance of using one's gifts and resources wisely with the expectation that God's followers should be good stewards of the blessings they receive. So what does that mean? Well, for instance, you have the gift of faith, okay? Well, you have to be a good steward of that. Don't waste it. Okay, don't veer away. Live a virtuous life, okay? Be thankful for those gifts that God has given you. And then let's say you're successful in life. Well, use your resources wisely in a way to help others. Don't squander what's been given to you. Don't be a gambler, inveterate gambler, okay? Yes, sickness, one thing, but don't get yourself wrapped up in that. Don't allow addiction to become a part of your life. Don't give up those things that you've been given as gifts. Matthew's gospel in Matthew 16 talks about the primacy of Peter, okay? When Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then, of course, Jesus declares Peter as the rock that he's going to build his church upon. Well, that passage is foundational to Catholic teachings, not only overall, but on the authority of the Pope as the successor of Peter. The institution of the Eucharist during the Last Supper is recorded in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus institutes the Holy Eucharist. He takes the bread, blesses it, gives it to his disciples, saying, this is my body. Does the same thing with the precious chalice, right? This is my blood, blood of the new and everlasting covenant. This is central to our entire Catholic faith. And then, of course, in Matthew 25, the Judgment of Nations, where Jesus presents the parable of the sheep and the goats, emphasizing the importance of caring for those in need and practicing acts of mercy. And this is really the passage that underscores all of Catholic teaching on social justice and the corporal works of mercy.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Of course, you can contact him toll-free at 800-505-0080. Again, toll-free at 800-505-0080. And online at www.ccacemmary.org. Symbols. There's some symbols that are associated with St. Matthew, right?
Yeah. Well, the main symbol, if you look at each of the gospel writers, they each are associated with their own symbol. St. Mark is associated with a winged lion. St. Luke has a winged ox. St. John, a rising eagle. Am I interrupting you from something? I thought I was answering your question.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll wait until you're finished, and then I'll continue.
What am I doing?
You know me. I love to give you grief. I saw your eyes stray instead of looking at me, so I get, you know, I wanted to give you that little dig because I thought I could. I'm busting your stones. St. Matthew is
you busting my stones?
I know,
really?
Right? It's shocking. Actually, I realize we're going to have a little extra time, so I figured I'd throw in a little.
I always have an eye on the clock because I always fear of running out of time.
We've never done it yet. Okay. Yes. So St. Matthew is actually the only one that shows up. His symbol is a divine man. And it's kind of interesting because he was this tax collector, yet it was because of this transformative power of this encounter with Christ that changed him so instantly that he's the guy that is a symbol of a man, whereas everybody else has got all these other symbols that are part of some other aspect of their lives. His is a divine man. So that's kind of an interesting take on the difference between him and the other evangelists.
Interesting. How about spiritual lessons? What are some of the spiritual lessons can Catholics draw from the life and also the gospel of St. Matthew?
Well, I think that, you know, we touched briefly on some of it, the power of conversion, okay? His life story is a testament to the transformative power of encountering Jesus. You know, becoming a disciple after he was a tax collector, which was a profession that was loaded with corruption and sin, that decision to follow Jesus demonstrated that anyone can experience a profound conversion and receive God's mercy and forgiveness. So that the life of St. Matthew is pivotal about conversion and that message that anyone can experience this profound conversion if they open up their hearts. Okay? If you open your heart and mind, don't be afraid to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. And that's something a lot of people don't do. They close themselves off because they think they know better than God. And they say, I'm not worthy. I'm not the guy that I should be getting this benefit. Or I shouldn't be, you know, because I do bad things. Well, guess what? God's telling you he's got his mercy and forgiveness for you. And you're going to walk away from it because you know better than God? Nah, I don't think so. Well, his life is really a testament to that power of conversion. Then the call to discipleship, which is really important. Jesus said, come follow me, right? So it illustrates the importance of promptly and wholeheartedly responding to God's call in our lives. And it's not that easy to do. So you think about it. Here's this guy, got a life, doing his thing, follow me, drops everything and goes. How many of us are going to be able to make that kind of a decision in a split second time?
Not many.
No, it's not that easy. So for us, the call to discipleship is more of a process. For him, it was instant. For us, it's more of a process, okay? And that's an important symbol, I think, or an important aspect of St. Matthew's life that we can't forget, that we have to think about leaving behind the worldly attachments and embracing a life that is centered around faith, around service, around sacrifice. And it's not easy to do. But it's something that St. Matthew is an excellent example of when you talk about a spiritual lesson. The role of witnesses. St. Matthew's gospel is a crucial testimony to the life, the teachings, and the miracles of Jesus, okay? And it highlights the importance of being witness to Christ's message and sharing it with others. Catholics, as Catholics, we can learn from St. Matthew examples of actively sharing our faith and evangelizing others to help encounter Christ. Does that mean we stand on a street corner with a Bible in our hand and tout and say, hey, you know, end of the world's coming? No. It means live your life a certain way that you're a perfect example so people can see that, okay? And it's a transformative encounter. It changes their life. But we learn that by sharing our faith, we help others encounter Christ in a way that will help them have that transformative encounter with Christ. And it's subtle. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, you don't have to beat people over the head. You just have to be a good person, live a virtuous life.
I find Matthew's life fascinating. I mean, you want to talk about a person who did a complete 180.
It's true.
A tax collector. There's his enemy over the fisherman, you know, out in the Sea of Capernaum. It's the old adage of the lion laying down with the lamb, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Where now his foe is his brother now.
And, you know, we talked about mercy and forgiveness, and I'm not going to, you know, beat a dead horse with it, but this is, again, transformative sign of God's mercy and forgiveness now to St. Matthew for being corrupt and doing all this other stuff, and boom, making a change.
Well, we talk about spiritual lessons. I think a lot can be learned.
Well, yeah, but these are the spiritual lessons, the fulfillment or the embracing humility. He leaves this highly socially structured profession and follows Jesus. That's a total lesson in humility, where we just say, okay, I'm giving it all up, and I'm going to surrender to God's will just so I can be closer to him. And the role of prayer. St. Matthew's Gospel records several instances of Jesus praying, emphasizing the importance of prayer in the life of a disciple. Well, we are all disciples, and we have to have a good prayer life, and St. Matthew's life is a spiritual sign of that. And, of course, the call to hospitality and mercy. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus emphasizes the importance of caring for the marginalized and practicing acts of mercy. Well, there's nothing more important than that we can learn, how important it is to take care of others and to show us as actually living our lives in a way that is comparable to what Christ would like. St. Matthew's Gospel offers us all of these lessons on conversion, discipleship, witnessing, mercy, humility, prayer, and compassion.
Folks, we're running out of time here. If you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, very easy to obtain. Start with their website online, www.ccacem.org, M as in Mary. .org. If you've got a question that maybe you'd like to have answered right here on these very airwaves, maybe as soon as even next week, how about emailing us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. By the way, that toll-free number for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, write this number down. Set up a meeting. 1-800-505-0050. 1-800-505-0050. Folks, you have been listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.